born on the wrong side of the fence.
Welcome to Be Simply. This is She, and I want to thank you for joining us in this moment. Today we're going to connect to resolve, and we'll dive into our inner landscape and connect to those aspects of ourself that might feel a little uneasy. In addition, we will connect to our external landscape, and some of the clues that we find internally will help us lead to resolutions externally. This show is inspired by the shift and change that is most definitely upon us right now. Globally, there's many things happening that are reflecting back to us where we're uneasy, where we're excited, where we are realizing that there are some things we need to evaluate before we move forward. So with that being said, what we're going to do right now is dive into the inner conflict. Look at where it's located within you. And during the course of this show, we'll continue to examine the internal, and then we'll take it to the external, and then link it back and allow yourself to cultivate some questions that might assist in the process. So before we dive in completely, I would like to finish out that song by Yeshe. It's a song called Eye for an Eye, and this past week I've been contemplating that there's been so much off-gassing, especially in the North American continent, where there's a great division right now, great division, and a lot of people here on the North American continent and maybe globally are feeling very apprehensive about discussing how they feel. So what we have inadvertently done based on political propaganda, we have created a division between our friends, our families, our community. And there's this great opportunity when we have opposing views from the architect in me. It creates tension, and tension helps support things. And when we have tension, in addition, does it support things? It also gives us the opportunity to consider views of all sides, and it creates a checks and balance. However, we've become fearful of looking at all sides because we don't really want to know the truth, because we're coming out of an era where we've been manipulated, and very much so, very ignorant, trusting blindly. Now, a lot of worms have been let out of the can, and now it's our choice to start doing our own research, to start to have conversations. So if you notice you've put up walls and it feels very uncomfortable right now, wherever you live in the world, whatever the situation, it doesn't have to be dealing with politics. There's war going on. There's giant currency shifts happening in India. There's vulnerability. And within that vulnerability, there's the opportunity to expand, transform, and take in a new body of information and cultivate new solutions. So as we listen to Yeshe's, I really encourage you just to go internally and do a little recapitulation to see where you've been triggered or not, where you've had compassion or not, where you've been conditional or not, and realize that this is a never-ending cycle. If we're always in battle with ourselves and others as we evolve in life, it's just going to be exhausting. So at some point, if inspired, you might jump off that gerbil ball and decide to approach things differently. And from my own experience in doing that, it's quite refreshing and a lot less painful to approach things differently. We do get attached. So as we dive in, just take a moment. If you feel like moving a little bit, do that. If you're ready just to sit down and relax, do that. Just gently bring that breath in and out. Thank you.
too young to already have carried the cross. No escape, feeling hopelessly at a loss. Ready to cross the line, had nowhere else to hide. She heard a voice that spoke from somewhere deep inside of her. An eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. The whole world blind. The whole world blind. An eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. The whole world blind. The whole world blind.
Simply put, an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. And this is the hardest concept to swallow sometimes, because when we're angry and in angst internally, sometimes we don't have the self-control, the ability to have restraint, the rationale to be with that, or get some help to be with that, to find resolution internally. And what happens when we don't find that internal resolution, then the conflict becomes larger and larger and larger and larger. And somewhere during that journey, we explode, we erupt, we act out. We haven't had time to really hone in on what those emotions are. And so we want to go into battle. We've been in battle with ourselves, and we're ready to externally go in battle. And really, short term, that might feel good in that moment. It might feel really empowering to be with a bunch of people on a march. all standing in your convictions. But beyond that, beyond the attack, the battle, the external fight, resolutions need to be put in place, meaning that solutions need to be put on into motion, actual, tangible, forward motion. So we can shout from the rooftops what we want. However, how is that going to happen? Where's the strategic plan? Where is the step-by-step process? And who's involved, and how are we going to make it happen? So I will always use the analogy from building, that you can't have a building poof out of nowhere. A lot of factors go into it: planning, design, engineering, ordering of products, construction crew, building the building, finishing the building, fine-tuning the building, and then moving the people into the building. There's a process. So anything that we want to actualize internally or externally, there will be a process to create that resolution, to employ that solution, and move forward. So that's why today we're going to look inward, and we're going to talk about what we might be experiencing. So let's start there, to self-examine where that inner conflict might be, where we are feeling the angst. And how we do that is we start by checking in. And when I work with people one-on-one, in classes, on retreat, I really encourage everyone, if they can, on a daily basis, check in with the mind, check in with the heart, check in with the soul. And what happens when we do this, we start to recognize where we're having inner conflict. And that way, it doesn't become an eruption. We start to notice it when there's the friction. And we can decide how we want to handle that before we push it outward and cause a little bit of chaos for ourselves. So with that being said, if you can think in the past week or 2 weeks or a moment in time where you felt inner conflict and you didn't say anything, and I've experienced this where I've been in my own turmoil, where I don't feel like I can express myself in that moment, or maybe something's building. Maybe it was a tumultuous situation, building, did not tend to self soon enough, and an eruption occurs. You take it all out on the most unlikely person, and it doesn't feel good afterwards. I know from viewing social media in the past week, even over this whole process in North America with the elections, it's felt quite accosting. It's felt, oh, I don't even want to go on that, because all of a sudden I have people I adore and love yelling things at me and everyone because they're scared, because they're fearful. But it still hurts. It hurts to hear those things. It hurts to realize, wow, this person might be a little closed off from what we could experience together or have a conversation about. So these check-ins will help with that, because when you check in with your mind or your heart or your soul and you realize, oh, I'm scared right now, and let's explore why I'm scared. So we're going to start first, before we dive too far into the roots, just to check in with the mind. You know, what is the story you're attached to if you connect to something that you're not in resolution with? What is the story that you're attached to in your mind? What sensational story have you created, or not sensational? Is it fact-based? Is it based on a soundbite? Is it based on an emotion? And if you want, pause this, write down what's going on in the mind right now, and take as long as you need. Explore what's going on. Or if you just have a word, it's super busy, it's feeling anxious, it's preoccupied, it feels like it's in fight or flight. Those are all beautiful things to identify, because in that moment, then you can start to identify with what you're going to need to do to solve that problem, to nourish what's going on. So from there, let's talk about the heart, the emotions. What is emoting from you in this moment? Where are you wanting to express yourself? And are you able to? And do you feel comfortable doing that with family, friends, strangers? And what's coming out? And if you are maybe overly comfortable, are you sensitive to other people's needs? So right now, just ask yourself, what's going on with my heart? Before we'll backtrack a little bit, I'm sorry I went ahead. What's going on with my heart in this moment, or in this past week, or in a moment where I know I'm having friction about something? Again, pause the recording, write it down. If you get into practice of this, you'll be able just to check in on an instant. And then let's go to the soul body, that infinite being that stays with you, that resonance that has the potential to continue to evolve. Doesn't matter what theological background you are or lack of one, there's a frequency that continues. And on that level, that aspect of you that you have a sense of that makes you you, is there a story you're attached to? Is there something that's unresolved? Is there a fear? And what is with you in this moment? Is it good? Do you feel it rising? Is it calling at you? What's happening there? So again, when we check in with the mind, the heart, and the soul on a daily basis, this gives us the opportunity to explore what's going on and tend to our immediate needs and not welcome them to be a volcano. So the next aspect of the resolve is to link it back to the external mirrors, the conflict. And so most of you can probably remember a time in your life where you've had angst, if it's been in the present moment in the past couple weeks, if you're experiencing something where you live on this planet, and you've experienced that external thing that has caused inner angst. And so sometimes people say, you make me mad. They're not really making you mad. It's the situation that's invoking anger in you. And it may be that they've crossed the line and they're violating your code of ethics. They're not respecting you. And you're choosing in that moment to express that self, aspect of yourself, in anger. And within that anger, there might come some passion to do something about it. It just depends how responsibly you do with it. So I'm going to use that we've seen a lot of social media, anger rising up, people screaming, yelling, not wanting to talk to each other, just putting out these characters of stuff. And then people completely shutting down, detaching from one another, or avoiding the conversation at all. It's nothing like having a big fight and you can't talk about it. So that's what's happening between the humans right now. We're against one another because we don't know what the answers are. We don't know what the solutions are, but we're not willing to talk about them. So think about that external conflict, the mirror, the story, and what your response has been. So this might be a historical pattern that you have, or this might be a historical thing externally that causes you angst. And that's what's happening right now. We're getting the opportunity to see where our triggers are. And what's beautiful about that is that's a sign to tell you, hey, you could actually be a person that could create a solution for yourself and others around this angst. You might be able to bring something to your community, to society, to your work that can actually be the resolution, the solution to the situation. There's a reason your attention's drawn to it, and it may not be something you sought out, but it's there. So what are you going to do about it? So first of all, write down what that story is. Second of all, what has your response been typically when you are experiencing that? Where is it happening in the body? What's happening in the mind? Are you able to calm the emotions down and articulate your point of view? Are you willing to do research and evaluate all sides of something you're so passionate about? This is something they teach in debate or speech, They teach you to look at all sides. If you're going to persuade someone, you have to be able to talk to all sides of it. And this doesn't mean manipulate. This means if you want to show someone that you've looked at all sides and you want to show them the solution that you found that you feel is right in action and plausible, then you need to look at all sides, because an expert can come up and say, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And if the answer's no, then it's time to go back, do more research. And within that, you're going to get more comfortable. Your emotions are going to calm down. You're going to feel more confident in understanding the knowledge base. There's been a lot of topics over the past 10 years that have really probably blown a lot of people's minds, realizing what things have been and what they are now. So it's choice. Do you want to continue just going with status quo, or do you want to start evolving, making a better world for the future generations to come? This is what's available to all of us right now. So external mirror the story. What's your response been? What is it? Where is it? And why does it create fire in you? Passion. That's what that anger is, passion. And within that passion, there's the ability to make peace, and there's the ability to bring forth a solution for yourself and potentially others. And I would highly recommend that a solution-based system will go a lot further than standing up and yelling at people. All that does is waste your precious energy. It may help you feel comfortable for a little bit of time, but you have precious resources. Sit down, discuss with your community, and to see how you can resolve these situations. So what I'd like to do is take a little pause from my voice right now so you could self-reflect where the inner conflict has historically been for you or is in this moment, and then that external conflict that rises up that really grabs your attention. And maybe you're not even aware that it's conflict, but it's one of those topics that if you start talking about, you might get excited. I know my kids, when I talk about certain topics, they're like, lower your voice, Mom, please, because I'm passionate about it. I don't have all the answers, but I do want to talk about it. And they're a great mirror, because they're like, if you want us to listen to us, don't get so excited, so that they can receive the information. So kids are a great way to test out these things to see if it's age appropriate, to see if you can explain something that you are passionate about, explain a solution, and take action. So as we go into this, I want you, like I said, just to sit with those conflicts. We're going to listen to a little Tina Malia, and she has these beautiful mantra-based songs, Ek Onkar, and allow the music and the harmonics just to wash over you as you contemplate conflict and welcome to start to feel into the resolutions, to feel into the solutions within self and outside of self. So, with that being said, let's take a nice gentle breath in and out. Again, deep breath in and out. Another one, deep breath in and out. And as you breathe in and out, gently just welcome self to continue to receive and have deeper understanding of what exists within you and outside of you. Ekongkha satnam patapura nirbho nirvera kalmurata juni sebam guru prasachak adu sach jugadu sach hebi sach nanakawasiri sach.
Ekonka satnam gata purak nirbo nirvera kalmurata juni sevang guru prasad jap ad sach jagad sach hebi sach nanako sibi sa Ekonka satnam gata purak Nirbho nirvera kalmurata juni sevam guru prasad chap ad sach jagad sach he bi sach nanako sibi sach ekamka satnam karta purak Nirbho nirvera kalmurata juni sevam guru prasad chap ad sach jagad sach he bi sach nanako sibi sach Ekonka satnam karta purak nirbho nirvera kalmurata juni sevam guru prasad jap ad sach jagad sach he bi sach nanako sibi sach Ekonka satnam karta purak Nirbho nirvera kalmurata juni sevam guru prasad jap ad sach jagad sach he bi sach nanako sibi sach ekamka satnam karta purak Nirbho nirvera kalmurata juni sevam guru prasad jap ad sach jagad sach he bi sach nanako sibi sach ekamka satnam karta purak Nirbho nirvera kalmurata juni sevam guru prasad jap ad sach jagad sach he bi sach nanako sibi sach nanako sibi sach nanako sibi sach nanako sibi sach
So gently bringing your awareness back to here and see if you're able to hone in on that conflict, internal and external. Now, one thing I've noticed within myself is that the subtleties of this practice are such that it's really easy to grasp at the external and not take responsibility for the internal. So that's where it takes a lot of accountability and restraint. And we're all susceptible to this. We're humans. We are reactive, and it's a choice in every moment how we want to react at these milestones. And sometimes we are graceful and other times we're not, and that's where we hold ourselves in compassion. So hopefully during that segment you were able to connect a little bit deeper to the internal conflict that you notice in your mind, your heart, and your soul. Usually it's a repetitive wheel that we're connected to. And then the external conflict, and there might be a couple signature ones in your life, and that conflict where we feel that fire is a place to put our attention. It's a place not to run away from or be afraid of. Yet, it's also really important to understand that if you want the quote-unquote perceptual opposing force to receive you, you have to be reasonable and not bowl them over with your energy field. Tried that. Doesn't work so well. So, in that contemplation, the additional questions to ask the internal and external self is, what is on the other side and what do you not know? So, for example, if let's say you're pro eating organic and you're really passionate about organic food, do you know what that even means? Have you done your own research, or are you basing your knowledge on short articles, top 10 reasons to eat an organic banana? Have you done the research to understand what that means and the variables within that? And have you researched why maybe you don't want to eat organic. So within that, you might get super upset that there's not organic food for you. But if you do the full research, you might have A, a little bit more ease when you can't get organic food. B, you might be able to articulate why someone would want to eat organic versus non-organic, or that there are still a lot of questions out there with organic foods, with genetically modified organisms. A lot of great information out there if you do the research. And so that's just an example. There are a lot of emotional topics that are happening right now. And those topics, let's say you're really passionate about people being nice to one another versus calling it bullying or, you know, blatant off-gassing that's based in ignorance, really. Say you're really passionate about that. Have you researched all sides? Have you researched it from the bully's side, from the victim's side? And you understand all facets of it psychologically, physically, emotionally. So anything that you're really passionate about, what can you do to make peace with it and try to understand everyone's perspective? Typically, when we get to the root of almost anything, it's fear. It's fear of dying, really. It comes down to death. I've said this before in other segments, but the fear is so intense it sends you into fight or flight and you think you're going to die. The good news is we know that we live in a world system that regenerates itself. And even if the worst case scenario was death, wouldn't you want to be at peace at your death, let's say? So rather than hold that angst and hold that energy in, wouldn't you want to be at peace with it before you cross the threshold? So that's a choice, but I really encourage you, if inspired, make inner and outer peace consistently throughout your life. And if you get in the practice of it, everything will self-arise. You don't have to go for it, meaning that you don't have to find it or dig it up. It will arise, and there are layers to it. There are layers upon layers of your inner work that will keep rising up, give you an opportunity to refine, become more graceful. But if you shut down and feel like you know it all, then that's your choice, but it's going to impede you from being willing to interact with yourself and others. And this is where our society would then stop in evolution. Other key point here is the external. When we have an external conflict and we don't think we can find a resolution, understand that you can only be accountable for you. You can only make choices for you. You can only continue to evolve for you. You can't force that on someone else. If they're not ready to evolve, then it's not going to happen in that moment. If someone is, let's say, derogatory towards other races, they might not be ready to evolve and understand why that is ignorance. Plain and simple. To yell and scream at that person, no matter what you do, they're not going to hear you until they're ready to evolve. And that will take a circumstance to cross their path where they get it. Maybe that they feel the opposing force to that. This is that cause and effect. We don't know something until sometimes we experience it. I've always said I'm kind of the girl that will run into the burning building just to make sure it's burning and then come back out and say, yeah, it's burning. You can't really know all sides if you don't experience them. And you can be judgmental and prejudiced and exclusive because you don't understand another person's point of view. So when we go from the inner and the external, I just want to remind you again gently that you can only be responsible for you. And if you want to have a compelling argument, debate with someone, be grounded, be well-spoken, be well-researched. If you get emotional, excuse yourself and wait for another time. And that's just a sign that you're not completely at peace with it internally. And maybe it's best to avoid that conversation until the emotions calm down, or you're in a setting where the people that you're with can handle your emotions and assist you through that process. So the interesting thing here is that external situation leads us back to the internal situation. So when we've sometimes had an experience externally that leads us back to the internal that's still wanting to be healed. This is like why a lot of people will, for instance, I teach in an eating disorder clinic, and many of the therapists that work there, dietitians, they've all had eating disorders, not all of them. Some of them had eating disorders or been impacted by eating disorders. I was impacted by a dear friend's eating disorder. So you naturally end up drawn into something that might have caused you trauma, caused you a series of things that you didn't expect to happen. Maybe it caused you to fight for your life if you had the eating disorder. So that external conflict or something that arose can draw you in and then point back to the internal and what's ready to be healed for you internally. People that have had cancer, it's an internal conflict, a dis-ease in the body. And then sometimes they'll discover the external conflict that helped assist in creating the dis-ease in their body. So this is how that link back. They might have been in a bad relationship, no voice to express themselves. It might not have been all environmental situations or conditions that caused that cancer. The mind was not at ease. So when we find external to internal, that gives us the opportunity to authentically heal. And this is why it's really important to heal the internal conflict, because at that point, then we can be more objective, we can have equanimity, and we can then, with our families and friends and communities, be a good sounding board. And we can choose not to fight with everyone. We can choose to say, hey, let's listen, let's talk about it. And we can navigate situations where we realize it's not going to be productive. Like I said, if someone is stuck in a state of mind and isn't able to get out of it, there's really no reason to really beat them over the head with a metaphorical 2x4 of your opinion, because they're just not going to be able to hear you. It's like being the Peanuts teacher. It just sounds like wah, 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 and nothing is retained. So I encourage you right now to see where that link back is, to see where within you, if you can feel that inner angst and link it to the external, or look at the external and link it back to the internal angst, because if they were two different things that were unrelated that you identified, pick one. Pick something that internally causes you angst and see if you can find the external response to that. We're going to listen to a little bit more Yeshe. This is a beautiful piece, La Ballade. And as you sit and listen, just think of that little scale. External, internal. How are they linked? Welcome the mind's eye to connect the dots so that the healing and transformation process can be much more effective and seamless.
Y'a pas d'espoir, contourner, mauvais comme moi. Passe la bouteille, serre-moi un verre. Plus que je bois, plus que je vois clair. Y'a pas d'avenir, y'en aura pas. Y'a que l'amertume et les tracas. Des fois je vois l'étoile rouge. J'entends l'appel, je sens le loup. Avec Tijon, à coups de poing et au fusil, je suis le plus fort dans le pays. Ça m'a donné que de l'ennui, des points de suture et des ennemis. Oh, 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 des ennemis. Ça me fait peur, j'suis orphelin, abandonné, sous la pleine lune, on m'a laissé.
Hopefully during that segment, you could start to see the inner and the outer conflict and how they're related and where you might want to make peace. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we can't find good quality solutions externally when we're not at ease internally, because at that point we're not being objective, we're still subjective because there's something going on. Doesn't mean that you're going to be far off potentially. However, it could be better. It could be better if that is internal things that And so you can think about the things that you've gone to bat for and the times that you were prepared and the times that you weren't and how much more well received they are when you come off calm, rational, filled with facts and research to support what you're sharing. And that helps a lot. And we're going to see more and more of this as we move forward in the future. We're not going to just take things at face value just because. Right now, that is the beauty of what's happening. It's going to raise a lot more questions and not just being a or being held victim or held hostage to a circumstance. You do have a say. Now, on a larger level, when we talk about real big global things, again, internal shift, change, healing, deep healing, external, that embodiment you can share with the external world, and that can be fed into your business, into your local community, into your family, with your friends, and it continues to ripple. So by taking on a large, giant establishment, that is just like static, large noise on the outside. Unless you work at that large establishment, then your shift and change internally will continue to have a ripple effect everywhere you go with family, friends, your coworkers. It's pretty miraculous how it happens because you show up different for the dance. So hopefully during that segment, you were able to start to see the links. Now we're going to get into what do you do? Great, I've identified where I feel conflicted internally and externally. Now what? Well, that internal conversation, when you feel it coming up, oftentimes what we do as a society is we go to numb out. We go to eat sugar, we go to eat alcohol or drink alcohol, do drugs, have sex, overconsume, whatever it might be, to numb ourselves and avoid the situation. And it doesn't mean that if you live mindfully, some of those things I mentioned you could abide in mindfully. However, if you're always going to certain things just to numb out, to avoid the situation, you're going to bypass that feeling, that internal conflict. So this is where I welcome people to sit in it. When you feel the angst rise up, before taking action, before numbing out, sit in it. A good 24, 48 hours. Wait. What's going to happen in 24 or 48 hours? Absolutely nothing. And if you have to make a split decision, then you might want to get a good sounding board, someone you know that's objective, can listen and give you good quality feedback and be willing to hear it. So avoid numbing out while you sit in it. Go exercise, do something healthy for yourself, go eat a nice meal, go watch a movie, take a time out from whatever's causing you angst. Just allow yourself to be with it, but you don't have to like go down into the dark depths of your soul with it. As you're going through this process, as it rises up and you continue to question it, be honest with yourself. Be honest with what's going on. So this is where we get into that external. We want to just combat something externally when we are like, oh, this isn't comfortable. You can go on a walk and ask yourself, what's going on here? What's below this? What's going on? The more you ask the questions, you'll start to feel it. You'll feel it rise up. If you don't feel comfortable doing that for yourself, come connect with someone that can help you. That's what they're there for, someone that's wanting to guide people through these transitions, these processes. So as you're honest with yourself, and then you can decide, am I ready to let this go? And it's not always that simple. People can say, just let it go. Well, it's not that simple if you're rolling around with it and you've used to rolling around with it for the past 20 years and you don't know how to let it go. And if you did, you would have. But when you acknowledge and you see it, then you can say, I'm ready. I'm ready. And you can just keep reminding yourself, I'm ready to set it down. I'm ready to have the truth about it. And this can take years to fully understand. It doesn't mean you have to be at it 24/7 for years, but acknowledging it, seeing it, and welcoming to have a higher sense of awareness around that angst. I can give an example personally from being raped as a teen and doing my own self-healing then for many different reasons. That got me to a certain point, that self-healing, that where I took my own situation into my own hands and decided to do the inner work for myself so I could get on with my life. However, that took me only so far, and there was more to go, and there was more to digest, and that's okay. You get to those spaces where you can keep operating with life, and you realize where you made the mistakes, and then you realize that in the future you'll get a heal from those mistakes and the whole situation, but it takes time to digest. Of course, best case scenario, to get help right away and get someone there. However, it just might not be in your destiny to do it that way. So if it takes longer, it takes longer. Just be gentle with yourself. There's no real rush. Once you know that you're working on something, that you can take the time to authentically make peace with it. So that let go process is a beautiful process, because you're just acknowledging, I'm ready to let it go. Thy will be done. I'm ready to be done with this. And what happens there, as you're making that internal peace, you have the opportunity to keep meeting it in the external world. And that gives you the opportunity to decide, what's the solution here? Am I going to keep combating this? Or how am I going to handle this situation? And you may have to come at it many different times so you figure it out. And that's okay. Practice makes perfect, or not, but you can keep trying over and over again till you get it right. Once you get that right, you will feel neutral. You will feel awe around that situation. And you can be gentle with yourself through that process, and you can really be humble with the people around you, letting them know, like, hey, I'm trying to figure this out. I don't have it figured out yet, but I'm trying, and please be compassionate with me. So the other part of this is to give yourself to process what's coming through, what emotions are coming through, and to integrate it into your life, because things are going to shift. And once you finally heal these layers, you're free of it. You're completely free of it. You might remember, but you don't have to go back to it. It's done. It's over. The karmic imprints are over. Everything's over. You don't have to go back to those stories, and I highly encourage you don't, or as minimal as possible. And then it's done. So having the conversations is that very key process. And this is why, if we do it on a daily basis, we can really see what needs to be addressed. And for everyone, it's going to be something different, and they will digest it and work with it differently. So the moving on is also that aspect that's like re-exercising a muscle. If you're so caught up in that conflict, it's going to be hard to redirect the attention. However, over time, it'll get easier and easier. Now, the external condition can give you great practice, and you can actually place it a little differently if you so to choose, where it can feel a little bit easier, because maybe it's a situation like organic food. Maybe the internal conflict is the disease that you got that inspired you to learn about organic food, and you haven't completely healed from that disease, meaning the recovery process. You haven't healed the wounds that caused the disease. And so then all that passion, all that anger, all that frustration comes out when you're trying to convince people they have to eat organic foods. And the reality is you're still a little bit in fight or flight, and you might have a little trauma still to resolve. However, if you say, okay, I really feel passionate about this, I want to educate people about this, then that gives you the opportunity to learn how to be non-emotional about it, how to share it in a palatable way that people can hear you. During that process, what's really beautiful is you will start to make peace with these subtle threads of where maybe that trauma originated from, where that inner conflict originated from, and it'll continue to unfold. And you'll also realize, like, wow, I'm so objective with this external issue. Maybe I can be objective with my internal issue. And it'll reveal itself as you move through the process. So to close out, I'm going to keep this real simple, is one, once you've located that inner and outer conflict, just choose one thing. You don't have to take on everything that's ever happened to you, everything that you're fired up about. And then daily, ask the questions, what's going on in my mind, what's going on in my heart, what's going on in my body. Focus on that and see what you need to support that in each day. It'll change day to day. Then give yourself the opportunity to talk about what's going on internally and externally. Welcome yourself to have friends and family and community where you can have these conversations, even if you are in an opposing view. Remember, tension's a great thing, so we can be objective and in our checks and balances. Recapitulate what's occurred for you at the end of the day, and then let it go. So ask the questions, take time to have conversations with yourself and others, review your day to see how you handled it, see how you handled those conflicts, if they were self-arising, or if you met them in the external world, and then let it go. Get in the process of letting it go, meaning, okay, I spent the time I needed on it, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to meditate and then go to bed, or watch a movie with my partner and then go to bed, or do whatever, go to the museum or art gallery, but just let it go. Redirect the energy. So I hope and that if you have the opportunity to notice when you have the inner conflict, that you take the time to really sit with it and see if you can make peace with it. It's something well worth spending some time on, especially before any of us take the big exit. The more we can make peace with, the more that will help the next seven generations. The ripple effects are immense. So if at all possible, don't get consumed by all the world's problems. Keep it local, keep it to self, and watch how the world transforms around you when you give yourself the opportunity to digest what is internally and what is externally within your reach. Until next time, this is She signing out with a full heart, a soft gaze, gentle smile, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply.
Born on the road.